Bibles, turn to the passage that we just read in Mark chapter 11, starting in verse 15. It's good to be here. It's good to have an opportunity to speak. I'm excited to speak about the topic that I'm going to be speaking about. It's something that I've been thinking for over a month now, not just for this specific talk, but just things I've been thinking about in general. I've been spending a lot of time in the Psalms. And I think there's just some things that, as I'm reading the Psalms, it just keep popping out at me. And I have to speak about this. But we're going to start in the New Testament. But I think one of the most shocking statements that Jesus ever made, he made in Matthew 5, verse 20. Don't go there. But it says, "For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and of the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of God." And I remember as I read that passage recently, you know, I've always assumed, like, of course, you know, like, unless your righteousness is not better than the Pharisees and scribes, you will not enter the kingdom of God. But I kept asking myself, am I better than a Pharisee? Am I better than a teacher of the law? Is my righteousness better than that of a Pharisee and that of a scribe? Because I think as I read that passage, you always assume, and I don't know, I always assume my righteousness is better than that of the Pharisees and the scribe. Amen. And I think the reason why it came as a big shock, that statement, is because the Pharisees thought the same thing. They probably thought, as they heard Jesus, they were like, he must have said something different. He must be talking about a different group of people, because we're already in. Like, they need to be better than me. I thought I was already in. I think the people thought he must be speaking about a different group of people because they must already be in. Like, I want to be like the Pharisees. And I think Jesus must have shocked everyone. And this is what I'm going to talk about today. I think a lot of times we assume we're in. But the question is, are we better than a Pharisee and scribe? And today I don't want us to assume that we're in. I just want us to look at some of the things that the Pharisees did and look at our lives and say, am I better than a Pharisee? Am I trying harder than they are? Am I really doing the same things that they're doing? Or am I striving to be better than them? And if we're not in, let's work hard to be in. And if we're in, let's keep persevering in that. But let's not assume that we're in. Let's look at Scripture and what it says. I think the first thing that the Pharisees and scribes did that I think like we often do is that they cling to rituals rather than clinging to God. They cling to rituals rather than clinging to God. And in Mark chapter 11 is a great example of that. Mark chapter 11, Jesus goes to the temple, and it says there in verse 15, on reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple's court and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling the doves, and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple's court. And he taught them, and he said, "It is written, my house will be called a house of prayer for all the nations, but you have made it a den of robbers." You know, when I first studied this story, and Jesus says, my house should be a house of prayer, but you've made it into a den of robbers, I thought that Jesus was upset because they've been cheating people while they're selling stuff. And Jesus says, like, you guys are a bunch of robbers. But I think what Jesus is saying, a den of robbers, is not where the robbers or the thieves do the stealing, but it's the place that they go after they do the stealing. It's the place they hide after they committed the big crimes. And I think Jesus is saying, you guys are acting like you're good people, and you come in here and you hide behind the rituals of the temples, and you say, I'm good and I'm right. They're rotten people, and they feel secure behind the temple. And as I thought about that, and now I know this for sure, because this is a quotation for Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 7:11, where Jeremiah is telling the people, hey, you feel good about yourself because you keep saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. God is not going to destroy us. Why? Because we have the temple of the Lord. God is not going to bring the Babylonians on us. Why? Because we have the temple of the Lord. And God, through Jeremiah, tells the people, stop believing in those deceiving words. If I destroy my ark, I will destroy the temple. Now this is the exhortation for us today. What's our temple? What's our ritual that we are hanging on to? We're not spiritually minded. We're not seeking God. Our life is not right before God. But we got this like one thing that we're just hiding behind it and just saying, you know what? I know this is not right. I know I'm not talking right. I know I'm not doing right. But man, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. This is it. I just thought about someone. You know, maybe I say, you know, I go to church. You know, I'm here on Sunday mornings. I'm here on Sunday nights. You know, my life is not right before God, but the church of God, the church of God, I go on Sunday, so I must be right before God. You know what the exhortation for us is? Stop trusting in those deceiving words. You know, maybe it is that you partake of the Lord's Supper. You know, I have a kid back home. He's not even coming to the full service of church. But he comes, partakes of the Lord's Supper, and sometimes leaves. And I think he's thinking, I'm right before God. You know, I'm partaking of the Lord's Supper. I must be right before God. Stop trusting in those deceiving words. You're not right before God. You know, or maybe it is, I pray at night. You know, I confess my sins to God, but I really never really change. You know, at night I feel really bad about the things that I do. And you know, I confess and I pray, you know, but next day I just keep on doing it. Stop trusting in confession. Stop trusting in confession and let's cling to God. Maybe it is that I do some public kind of thing. Maybe I lead a song or maybe I preach a sermon or I do something public, right? And I'm clinging to that. I know that I'm not seeking God as I ought to. I know I haven't repented like God wants me to. But man, I'm doing those public teaching. And the word for us is stop trusting in those things and start clinging to God. Do you remember in Isaiah when Isaiah or God mocked idolatry? And you remember that God said that they take a tree and they cut it, right? And they make it into a nice figure and then make sure that it doesn't toddle, right? And then they scream out to it and say, save us! And in the same way, that we take these rituals, we're not right before God, but we take confession, we give some money, or we go to church, but we're not right before God, we've made God into this ritual, we throw it out, and we say, save me! This is what's going to keep me out of hell! And God is saying, that idol can do nothing for us. Nothing. Am I better than a Pharisee? Am I clinging to idols? Am I clinging to a ritual? Or is my life really right before God? These are not just questions I'm asking you. These are questions I'm asking myself. Am I clinging to rituals? Or am I clinging to God? And may God help us to cling to Him and not rituals. Because it is Him who saves. And not these things, these rituals that we participate in. Another problem that the Pharisees had, you know, they were clinging to rituals, but they were also clinging to religion rather than having a personal relationship with God. I think part of the reason why this statement must have been so shocking to the Pharisees is because the Pharisees were religious people. Even there, in Matthew chapter 5, if you go there, Matthew 6, these people, you know, had some good deeds. In Matthew 6, it speaks about them giving to the needy, them praying, them fasting. Remember that they used to tithe everything they did. And remembering that story of the widow, they were the ones who gave the biggest offering. I mean, the Pharisees were religious people. But you know, but religion or being religious does not guarantee a right relationship with God. Listen to me again. Being religious does not guarantee a right relationship with God. Go to Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to tell you, I think this passage is scary. In Matthew chapter 7. But look at Matthew 7, starting in verse 21. Matthew 7, starting in verse 21. Now everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons? In your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Now, let me tell you this. God says, I never knew you. Me and you don't really have a relationship. You know, you may be casting out demons. You may be doing miracles over here. You may be doing some good deeds. But me and you don't have a relationship. I don't know you. Has this ever happened to you? You know, it was somebody who you knew back in middle school, or you knew back in like high school, right? And and you knew them well in middle school and high school, right? But time passes, right? And you see that person, and they know you, but you kind of don't know them, and you look at them, and you're like, hey, do you remember me, man? And you go, no. And you're like, awkward moments, but I think that's what happens here. That's what happens here. There are some people who are assuming, man, God must know me. And God says, me and you, I don't have a relationship with you. There is none of that right here connecting. You know, I just recently got married, but I think it's a great illustration. Sometimes you're married for such a long time, and communication is gone, and this is gone, and you wake up one day, and they still look the same, right? But you're like, man, I don't even know who I'm sleeping next to, you know? This person has changed so much that I don't really want know them that well. And God is saying here, to religious people, I don't know you. Me and you don't really have a relationship. Go to Revelation chapter 2. I don't think this is a Pharisee and a scribe thing, but in Revelation chapter 2, I think, look at this, Revelation 2 verse 1, he says, to the angel, Revelation 2 verse 1, Revelation is the last book. If you hit the maps, you've gone too far. You know, it's like Revelation 2 verse 1. To the angel of the churches in Ephesus, I write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deed, your hard work, your perseverance. I know you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardship for my name and have not grown weary. Now, every time I write this, before verse 3, I'm thinking, these people are in. I mean, these people are just doing right before God. They're persevering. Good deeds, they got it. You know, not growing weary, they got it. You know, false apostles come in, we don't tolerate them. They got them, right? But then look what God says. Look what God says. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Like, you don't have the same love for me that you used to have. Like, we don't have that close connection anymore. And it's not right. And look at this. Do you know how I know it's not right? And you know how I know that if we don't have a close relationship with God, we're not going to make it to heaven? Because look what he says. Consider how far you have fallen. Notice this. The far you have fallen is not like they're doing like scriptural things that are not wrong. It's that they're not close to God anymore. He says, you have fallen so far. And then he tells them, repent and change. If not, I'm going to come and take away your lampstand. That's scary to me. Because that means that I could be a religious person and not be close to God. And if I'm not close to God, God says, I need to repent and change. And you're not making it to heaven. That's scary to me. But you know what's the problem? When we hear repent, I think when religious people hear repent and they hear like, well, we need to change. That's what repent means. We need to change. We're like, man, but I thought I was good. You know, it's like, And religious people, for some reason, I think in general, all of us just hate change. You know, we come in and we sit in the same places, you know, like, you know, we give the same amount of money, we visit the same people, you know, it's like, you know, some of you guys have been sitting in the same spot for 10 years, you know, it's like, that's my spot right there, you know, it's like, we hate change, you know? But he says, if you are going to be a follower of Christ, my life should be always changing. My relationship with God should look different this year than it did last year. You know, if I just, you know, if I'm just doing the same thing I was doing last year, and if I'm just, if my spiritual life is looking exactly the same, there's something wrong. Let me tell you, we need, and this is the point of the lesson, we need a commitment to closeness with God. See, the Pharisees, they had the ritual. The people in Ephesus, they had the religion. You know, they were religious people. But they missed a closeness with God. A close relationship with Him. And I'm going to explain that, what that means. But let me tell you this. We need a commitment that I'm going to be close to God no matter what. I'm not going to let anything distract me, and I'm not going to be content until I am close to Him and I feel close to Him. Let me tell you, there's three mistakes. Before I talk about what we need to do to get close to God, there's three common mistakes we make when we are talking about being close to God. Number one, we think we are close to God. I think that's the first mistake we make. We think we are close to God. And this is why Psalms have really just impacted my life recently. Go to Psalm 63. Go to Psalm 63. The Psalms have changed my life recently because, you know, sometimes we think we're close and we think, you know, we have that close relationship with God, but we have lost the love we had at first. We don't really have that close relationship with God. Psalm 63. I tell you, if you don't know this Psalm, get related to it. Because look what David says. He says, "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. In a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hand. I will be fully satisfied as with the richest food. With singing lips my mouth will praise you. On my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night." Is that the kind of relationship we have with God? He says, to have a relationship with God is better than life. I thirst for God. I long for Him. Like me, like I long for a glass of water in a desert. Is that the kind of union we have with Him? And let me tell you, it's not just this song. Psalm 42, "As the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, God. My soul thirsts for you, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with you?" Psalm 84, verse 10, "Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked." I believe that this is where God wants us. I believe this is the kind of close relationship He wants with us. That if we don't have Him, it's like we don't have life. It's like if we don't have Him, it's like it's better not to go on living. That's the kind of longing relationship He wants for us. And let's not assume that we're close. Let's be close to God. You know, sometimes we try to find closeness in community rather than in loneliness. But I don't know about you, but the more I read the Bible, the people of faith, they find God and they find closeness to God in loneliness rather than in community. And I'm not trying to say that it's bad to be in community. I'm just saying you can't get a personal relationship with Him just here. Closeness with God comes by spending a long time with Him. Elijah heard God's voice when he was in the desert. David longed for God when he was in the desert. Jeremiah had no friends. His closest friend was God. I was talking to my best friend Caleb, and Caleb is in Alabama, in the middle of nowhere. Like, literally, it's in the middle of nowhere. I don't even know where it is. Like, nobody lives there. There's one gas station where he lives. Like, I can't even believe that. There's one gas station where he lives. And let me tell you this. He said, this is the loneliest I have been in my life. He said this. There's just no, the church there, there's like 8 members, and they're like all like 70, you know, it's like, they're older. And he just said, I'm so lonely. That he said, but this is the closest I've ever been to God. Isn't loneliness one of the things we fear? It's like, man, I don't want to be alone, man. I need to be doing something. You know, we don't even want to be things to be quiet. That's where we find God. That's where we find God. And we need to learn to find Him in a one-on-one relationship. Another mistake that we made is that we rush closeness to God. Let me tell you this, and this is how I am, I think just in general how we are. You know, we want to rush everything. We want to know what's the next book I can read so I can be closer to God. What's the next sermon I can read? And yes, everything is rushed. I read 15 minutes. Am I close yet? I don't know. You know, let's keep it. You know, it's like we try to rush everything with God. You know, like we try to rush everything. And to get close to God, we need to slow down and wait and seek Him and pray. But it takes a while, and we just try to rush it, and we never reach that place. And we just say, you know, we're just content with the ritual and religion, but we're not seeking the relationship. Let me tell you 3 commitments. If you haven't heard anything, you know, if you've been counting the lights, or, you know, you've been looking out the window, or, you know, this is the part that I want you to remember. This is really the part that I want you to remember. If we're going to be closer to God, there's 3 commitments we need to make. There's 3 commitments we need to make. Number one, we need to be committed to character. We need to be committed to character. Go to Psalm 15. Go to Psalm 15. I love this psalm. And look at this. He says, Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy mountain? Who's going to be the people who are closest to God? And look at the first thing that he mentions. Those who walk is blameless. The people who are close to God are the people who are closer to the character of God. And if we're going to be close to God, we need to be close to His character. You know, this is not like, oh, I'm going to be close to God, but I behave a different way. That's stupidity. You know, the thing that separates us from God is sin. And the more sin we have in our life, the less we are like God, the further we are going to be from God. So if we're going to be close to God, there needs to be this commitment in us to say, you know what? I'm going to be like God in this aspect because I want to be closer to Him. That's what we need to do. Let me just speak for 1 minute. I think we all have this one thing in our life. Sometimes, you know, some people just have 2 or 3, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, you know. You know, but a lot of us, it's just this one thing, man, like that we just need to get rid of, that we just need to change. And we know that this is like what's blocking me from feeling better at my relationship with God. We know that. And, you know, as this new year came around, you probably made it into your New Year's resolution. 2 days into it, you broke it. You know, it's like, we have this one thing that it's just like, man, if I can just do that, I can just be closer to God. And I pray that tonight you go home and you change that. Not because, you know, God is going to fix your life. Who cares about that? It's because I want my life to be aligned to God's, the way God is. So I can be close to God and have an intimate relationship with Him. It's not about fixing my life. It's about, I mean, I want to feel the same things God feels. I want to see things the way God sees them. I want to feel the same way God feels about things. You know, if God doesn't tolerate that, I don't want to tolerate it. tolerate that. If God will say something in that moment, I want to say something at that moment. That's the kind of fellowship I want with Him. But we need to be committed to character. And whatever it is that we need to change, we go home and we change it. Because God, man, the biggest thing in our life is to be closer to Him. There needs to be a commitment to character. There needs to be a commitment to communication. We need to pray more. I think one reason we don't feel close to God is because we feel like we can't talk to God, you know, well. You know, it's like we try to talk to God, but that doesn't even go very well. Or like God doesn't hear us. And you know, and a lot of times I used to make that excuse. You know, the reason why, like, I don't pray that much is because it's awkward to talk to God. Or, you know, does God even hear me? But you know why it's awkward to talk to God? Because we don't talk with Him. That's why. I just, to be honest, if we talk to Him a lot, it wouldn't be that awkward to talk with Him. You know, if we talk to Him a lot, I tell you, we will see a lot more prayers answered. But we don't pray that much. We're not committed to communication with Him. So therefore, we feel like God doesn't hear, God doesn't care, God is not looking, God is not involved in my life. We need to be committed to communication. I'm going to tell you, I don't know about you, but one of the most exciting things about Christianity is when God hears my prayers and He answers them. And not so much because He answered my prayer, but because I know that He heard me. I don't know about you, but I just want God to hear me. And to know that He's involved in my life and that He cares. You know, if He fixes the problem, good. But the reason why I want Him to answer the prayer is because I want to know, man, at least He doesn't consider me a sinner and ignores me. At least He considers me righteous and is hearing me. But we need to be committed to communication with Him. We need to pray a lot more than we are. And we need to pray and we need to be committed to reading His Word. Now, I believe this. I think God is constantly talking to us. You know, another thing we complain about, you know, it's like, God doesn't even talk to us. You know, it's like, okay. You know, like, but I believe that God is constantly trying to talk to us, you know, through sermons and through us reading the Word. Sometimes, man, you get encouragement from your brother and he's spiritually minded and he encourages you in that kind of way. You know, God is constantly trying to talk to us. The problem is we're too busy to listen to Him. And I don't know about you, but even better than an answered prayer is when God directly speaks into my life. I don't know if this happened to you, man, but you're reading like God, you're reading God's Word, and you're reading, and you know you're going through some things, and you're like, well, what should I do? And then you're just reading, and you're like, that's it right there. That's it. You know what that is? That's God speaking to you. You know, it's not like He goes, you know, He speaks directly into your ear. But you read it in His Word, and He just spoke directly into you. And that is God talking to you. I don't know about you, you're sitting in a sermon, and like, and you just feel so closely connected. You know, you're not even thinking like, you know, like we think in sermons like, man, you know, I wish my wife was hearing, or I wish my husband was hearing, man, I wish my kids were hearing. You're not connected to God at that moment. You're just applying the Word of God to everybody else, you know, like. But, you know, when you're like, you know, you're listening and you're like, wow, this is incredible. I just feel like God knows exactly what I'm going through and He is speaking into my life at that moment. And like, those are the most incredible moments. But unless we are committed to being close to God and to His Word, we're never going to hear His voice. I tell you, one of the saddest lives are lives that God just doesn't speak into. That's just miserable. Because, man, God is so wise and so big and so amazing and so loving, and He wants to speak, and He just doesn't. I'm going to pray that you can make these commitments. Commitment to character, a commitment to communication, a commitment to His Word. Let me tell you this. I think God is just doing great things in my life. Like, I just felt recently, like towards the end of November, that like I wasn't really close to Him, right? And not that I wasn't spending time in His Word, but I feel like, and if you're a teacher, you know this. Sometimes you're like in the Word to teach other people, and like, and you like read it, and you're like, okay, this is my next Bible study, you teach it, things like that. But you don't just sit down and just like, God, speak right now. God, you know, my prayer life wasn't as good, you know, like, and I remember I told God, you know what, God, I'm going to give you 3 a days. That's what I call them. And I call them my 3 a days. And 3 times a day, I try to either pray or read God's word just for the sake of hearing my God. Just for the sake of talking to God. Because I need it. Because I want to be close to Him. And this is the closest I've ever felt to God. I'm going to tell you, like, the other day, I was hearing a sermon, and I'm so glad that God spoke to me through that sermon, because, you know, I was like, I've been pumped for like a whole month and a half, like, you know, about things, and, you know, it's like, sometimes you start to get distracted, and man, God just put it there. He's like, you're getting distracted. You need to get more disciplined. Even today, Carlos was speaking at one of the churches, and God was like, you need to be more disciplined. And I go, amen, God, I need to be more disciplined. But I'm just, that's it. That's what I want. Let me tell you this. For my conclusion, I just want to say this. A close relationship with God is what really satisfies us. I find a lot of dissatisfied Christians. They're dissatisfied because all they have is this ritual thing. And that's just like, you're running on empty. It's the worst thing you can do for your Christianity. Or they're religious, but they're not really have God. But let me tell you this. God is the one who satisfies. You guys heard this quote before. Thou hast formed us for thyself, and our hearts are restless till they find rest in thee. I was reading this book, and I think it's the same book that Brigham was reading, because two of the things he spoke about this morning was things that I read in the book. So maybe we were both reading, so hopefully he didn't use this quotation. But notice this quote. I think this quote is powerful. He said, "For it is not mere words that nourish the soul, but God Himself. And unless and until the hearer finds God in a personal experience, they're not better for having heard the truth. The Bible is not an end in itself, but a means to bring men to an intimate and satisfying knowledge of God, that they may enter into Him, that they may delight in His presence, may taste and know the inner sweetness of the very God Himself in the core and the center of their hearts." When we have a close relationship with God, that's what life is about. That's what abundant life is about. And what God wants from you and what I want for you is for you to make those commitments to, I want to be closer to Him, and I will not stop until I am. And I hope, and I mean, I love New Year's. I love New Year's, because I love making New Year's resolutions, you know. Man, what better year, what better time to just start right now and say, you know what, man, I haven't been close to you. I haven't been close to your character. I haven't been talked to you. I don't really know you. I don't even know why I'm saved. I think I'm saved. You know, tell God that. I don't even know why I think I'm saved, because I don't even feel close to you. And start from this moment on being close to Him. Make those commitments. And do that and be closer to God. Let's pray. Father, we love you, Lord. It is so incredible that you want a relationship with us. And God, that's just too amazing. God, I pray for everyone here. I pray, Father, that you will give us a bigger appetite for you. That we will yearn for you, long for you, and that we will not stop until we are closer to you, closer to your character, that we'll be able to talk with you and you talk to us. God, help us to make these commitments. Help us to keep them. Help us to apply your word to our lives. In Jesus we pray. Amen. If you're not a Christian and you're in the audience, man, there's nothing greater than God. And you know, I'm not even calling you like, well, God is going to fix your life. He will. That's what He does. But that's not the reason we want to be close to God. We want to be close to God because He's the Creator. He saved us. We can trust Him. He loves us. And He wants a relationship with you. Have you ever thought about that? Really? God wants a relationship with you. And He is willing to do whatever it takes to have that with you. And you have an opportunity today to wash away your sins and start this walk with God. You can do that as we sing the song of invitation.